was good. Thank you for the song, and thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your faithfulness to serve the Lord. We need to pray for our missionaries all around the world. The ones we support, ones we don't support, there's missionaries everywhere, and we thank God for that. And praying that God will open doors for them. Amen. And to see souls saved, that's what it's all about. It's not about us, it's about God and saving souls. Now tonight I'm going to continue on in the book of Ecclesiastes. We started back there, a couple messages we've had out there thus far. And Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, and we'll pick up in about verse number 11, and probably go through the end of the chapter tonight quickly, just to show you what the writer Solomon talking about, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in his latter years, looking back down the road at some things and giving some advice, and realized that now by this time Solomon has reached the top. He has reached the top. He's seen it all. He's had it all. He's done it all. And he realizes that when you get to the top where he's at, it's pretty empty. And he's talking about things, and here's the key to understand Ecclesiastes, these simple words, under the sun. If all you have is what's under the sun, then it don't matter where you're going to go, you're going to be miserable. Amen? Because that's what this world has, is misery. That's what this world is misery. I don't care what you accumulate, what things you have, how fancy a home you live in, how big a car you drive, if that's all you've got, you're a miserable person. Amen. Solomon would find that out. He would find that out. And he's trying to encourage them. Look beyond this veil of tears. There's a better plan. There's a better way. Now, I'm going to reread verses 4 through 10 just to catch us up. I won't dwell on them, but just to help catch you up. We'll pick up in verse 11 on the title, What Does Our Labor Mean Without God? What does it mean, all our work and toil? If we do it without the Lord, what does it mean? What does it mean? You'll find out what Solomon has to say about it and what all the things he done. But let's reread verse 4, starting in verse 4. It began in verse 4 talking about the vanity of striving for greatness, the vanity of striving to have the best, to do the best. Now, I'm not against us doing the best we can. I'm not against having good things. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if that's your goal in life, then you've got it all wrong. Amen. If that's your goal in life, then that's not what this life's about. God blesses us with many things. And we ought to be thankful for what he's blessed us with. And we ought to do our best. But our best ought to be focused on his best. Not on our best. It ought to be focused on his things. Now look here in verse 4. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. And I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and other provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the lights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. In other words, Solomon's saying, I had what I wanted. I got what I wanted. I did what I wanted to. There was nothing withheld from me. We discussed the riches that Solomon had, and the wealth that Solomon had, and all the things that he could do, and he's dwelling that. Now, verse 11, he'll pick up at that. And He continues here to talk about his labor and his toil and all the things that he had done in striving for greatness and all the effort he had given to reach the top. Now look here, verse 11. Then I looked, he said, at all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit, here it is, under the Son. Now look now at his conclusion about all these things. Look now at what he thinks about him. Look at all these things he has done and all these things he has got. And Solomon really has went as far as he could go. He's went all the way to the top. He's the king. By the way, when he gets to the book of Solomon, he's no longer speaking as the king. He's done come back down to the preacher. Amen. He's realized that there's nothing at the top but loneliness. Under the sun, it's lonely. There's nothing there. And he went as far as he can go. And you know, I thought about people today. So many people today are trying to find satisfaction in their work and their work and their work and their work. I'm not against work. We should work. We should make a living. But you know, there's people I know that try to create work and try to, so they won't have to do things and do all, you know what I'm saying? They'll try to just work themselves to gain the things of this world. And let me tell you what, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to the things of this world. They're going to be left one of these days here to burn up in the elements of this old world. They don't mean a thing to us. But there's people who will give everything they got, all the time they got, to work, to find their satisfaction in their work. They'll look for satisfaction in entertainment. Our world, we live in an entertainment society today. With all the technology that our world has, people, you know, you can call up anything you want to. You can, whatever. I mean, you can call up anything you want to call up now in our technology, in the world. Any type of entertainment you want. You can have it, right? You have it right at your fingertips. And many people today are giving all they've got for entertainment, you know, in the cell phones and TVs and iPads. I mean, they're everywhere. Amen? And people are getting so caught up in these things. They're trying to find satisfaction in them. But you know what's happening to them? They're coming up empty. They're coming up empty. You know, I was thinking the other day about people in our society, and we live in a gadget society. We do. And the cell phone companies. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The smartest people in the world is a cell phone company. Now, let me tell you what they've done to you. You see, when cell phones first started hitting the market, and they started hitting the market and started coming out. Well, we'll give you a cell phone. We'll give you unlimited minutes. We'll give you unlimited data. Now, listen, here's what they've done. We'll give you unlimited data. Oh, you can just search the web. You can send text messages from China and everywhere else. It won't cost you just a little bit. It'll cost you just a little bit. And then what they've done, they got America hooked on the cell phone. That's all you see people doing. I don't think people can eat without that thing. Amen? That's all they do. And now they went and changed the price. Now we're going to give you just a little bit and you're going to pay for the rest. Now people got cell phone bills they can't afford. Amen? You see, what I'm telling you is they're trying to find satisfaction in that little thing you can stick in your pocket, and they're coming up empty. It's under the sun. Amen? You see, they become, they're looking for entertainment. So much of our society will submerge themselves in work and entertainment that they fail to be getting out of life the things that God has so wonderfully given them. They're missing the blessings of God. Now, these things, folks, these things in our world cannot satisfy. Reaching the top is not the answer. You see, If you're striving to get to the top, and maybe one of these days you've gotten to the top, but if you've missed life along the way, was it worth it? If you've missed the blessings God set before you, is it worth it? Starting in verse 12 now, Solomon is going to begin to dwell on the materialistic things. The living for now, striving to get all we can from life. Look what he says here in verse number 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath already been already done. Now notice what he's saying in verse 12. When Solomon had looked around him and found that he had done all that could be done, and he still found out that he's empty, the top is empty, look at what he found out. What else can be done? What's left to do? Hey, he said, what's the man going to do that comes after the king? It's already been done. You see, to do anything now, you'd have to go backwards. Once you reach the top, the only way to move is down. Amen. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. When you reach the top in this world, the only place left to go is backwards. And it becomes monotonous. Amen. You see, there's nowhere else to go under the sun. Now, to find satisfaction, you got to look beyond the sun. Amen. There's nothing wrong with reaching the top. But if that's your main goal in life, you're finished. Amen. But if you've got your eyes focused on God, then there's more beyond the top. There's an eternity in God's heaven. Amen. You see, that we yet have to look. We don't have to go backwards to find satisfaction. We can look forward and know that our treasures are laid up in heaven. Not get caught up in the things of this world. Verse number 13, he said, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. It is better to be wise than to be a fool. That's what he's saying. It's better to give way to wisdom. Think a little. Look what's good and stick with what's good. Hey, it's best to do a little thinking. Quick thinking and rash decisions leads to folly. So he said in verse 13, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly. It's better in your life to stop and think a little bit. To stop and think about what you're doing. What is the future if I stay on this pathway? What is the future if I stay the current position I'm at? Where am I going to end up? Hey, wisdom excels folly. Amen. You know, many of us make quick and rash decisions. You know what happens? Folly. I believe if you put it in West Virginia language, good old West Virginia language, you know, other people don't understand West Virginia language. I've been to some states and they look at me funny. Like, what are you talking about, buddy? But to put what Solomon's saying in West Virginia language, it's better to be wise than stupid. Amen? That's period. That's the way it is. Verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head. Look at there. But the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. And what's he saying here, verse 14? The wise man, what he's saying here, the wise man uses his head concerning the things that he sees. What is this? What is this? Where is it going to end up? Think a little bit. You know, you can listen today to television and to radio, and they're talking about get-rich-quick schemes. You ever hear them? Get-rich-quick schemes. It's folly. It's folly. You better think before you fall in the trap. Got to use your head. The wise man uses his head. He contemplates the consequences of his decision. You see, a wise man will think of what is going to happen, not only to me, but to those that I'm in charge of, my family. And in my shoes, I've got to think about a whole flock. What's going to happen to this flock if I allow this nonsense to float in to the house of God? Amen. You see, a wise man looks at the consequences. The foolish man, the Bible says, walks in darkness. He can't see nothing. He gives no thought about nothing. He doesn't think about nothing out there in front of him. He doesn't care about nothing out there in front of him. Only thinks about himself. And he ends up in folly. You see, thinks nothing about what will happen. And matter of fact, even doesn't even care what is going to happen until it's too late. Then they want to begin caring. Amen. But once it's too late, it's too late. You see. Now's the time to begin to think. In Proverbs 17, of course, Solomon's the same writer. Proverbs 17, verse 24. He said, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. You see. Whether wise or foolish, Solomon said this. Now you got to remember, he's still looking at things under the sun. Under the sun, there's one event that happens to the wise and the fool. What is that? We all die. Amen. Our end is the grave. And we'll tell you, the decisions you make in life are going to come to play then. Amen. When that one event happens to us all, whether wise, whether foolish, the ending of every man is the same. Psalm 49 and 10, the Bible says, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish people perish and leave their wealth to others. Now verse 15, he continues to carry this thought on. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. What makes the wisest man in the world greater than the fool? Simply what he believes in. Amen. Simply what he believes in. The things of this earth does not make you and I wiser than the fool. The fool has things of this world as well. Now, you know, and a lot of times the fool's got more things than the wise has got. But what separates the wise from the foolish? What he believes in. What he's looking to. Where his hope is. Where his treasures are. You see, not the things of this world. If they are looking for their help in this world, then all they have is death. That's what Solomon's saying. It ends the same way. If all you care about is what you're going to get in this life, well, I got some news for you. It's going to end in the grave. The same as the wise man. But then what kicks in is what you believe in. Amen? You see, without God, both the wise and the fool end up in the same place. Now, with God, the wise, you see, accumulate those treasures laid up in heaven. Under the sun, that's what Solomon's saying. Under the sun, Solomon's saying that man, whether wise or foolish, ends up in death. Verse 16, he goes on to say, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how died the wise man? Same as the fool. Amen. You know what he said? Same as the fool, all die. Notice what he said here. He said, all die, all are replaced, all are soon forgotten. Amen. In this life, in this life, when we pass from this life, I know we have memories of our loved ones. I know that, and we should. God blesses us with memories when people pass on. But it doesn't take long until you're forgotten and you're replaced by somebody else. And that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. You know? If I was told you this morning, if I was to leave here this week, well, it wouldn't be long. You'll find somebody else stand here. Amen? Might be even prettier than this old boy, but it make no difference. Amen. It wouldn't take long. You find somebody else to stand in his place. Amen. That's the way it is. You see, we're replaceable. And if we don't think we are, well, guess what? You are. Amen. You are. Somebody will fill your shoes because that's the way it is. Amen. We should give the best we've got while we're here to please God. Of course, Solomon said here in this verse, what separates the wise from the foolish is not that he's better in this life, but it's his treasures. What separates the wise from the foolish is where his treasure is. Amen. If it's in this earth, if the wise man's got his treasure on this earth, well, then he's in there with the fool. Amen. But if the wise man's laid his treasures up in heaven, he's separated himself from the fool. Now he's going to die, but hey, he's separated himself from the fool, for he's laid up treasures in heaven. Verse 17, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all his vanity and vexation of spirit. The final conclusion for Solomon of his work under the sun was displeasure. He was dissatisfied. Matter of fact, look what he said. He hated life. Now, you're talking about a man who has it all. You're talking about a man who's reached the top. He has anything he wanted, anytime he wanted it, wherever he wanted it. I mean, whatever. He reached the top and he hated life. Why? Because he was living under the sun. You see. Verse 18, he goes on to say, and he starts in verse 18, talking about vanity of striving after labor. He says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Well, man works and he works and he works, and man works to accumulate things. Man works to build things. Man in his work gets things, and the next thing you know, what happens to man? He dies. And guess what happens to all those things that he has, that he accumulated? He just leaves it for somebody else to squabble over. Amen? That's what he does. He just leaves it. Somebody else is going to come and take it. Somebody else is going to accumulate it. I worked in the funeral business for 20-some years, still working it part-time. But I worked in the funeral business full time for 23 years, and some of the worst fights I ever seen was over junk. Was over junk that they'd accumulated all their life, and somebody wanted daddy's junk. But no, I get daddy's junk, and I'm going to tell you what, I've seen the worst fights, and I've seen families split down the middle over junk. Amen. Over material possessions. Over junk. I've known brothers to this day that won't speak to each other because daddy had a rundown junk truck that I wanted. An old 22 rifle, that's right. What are you saying? Oh, we work and we gather and we collect for somebody to fight over. Amen. Let me tell you what you do with it. Take some of that stuff you accumulated and give it to this man. Amen. Put it on the mission field. Amen. They can't fight over that. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you one time. They got in a fight at a funeral, making funeral arrangements. I was in the room. I was making the arrangements. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what is going on? I mean, they were fighting and fussing. over junk. Finally, they said, Brother Mills, what do you think? I said, I think it's foolish. And then they got on my case. I said, it's foolish. Your daddy's dead. And you're fighting over junk. They said, we'll just call somebody else. I said, you might as well hit the door because I'm telling you, you're fighting over junk. Amen. Stupid. Amen. Well, they didn't leave. They got mad. He's mad at me the rest of the time. But that's all right because I'm telling you, that's what Solomon's saying. You'll just accumulate it for somebody to fight over it. Amen. Hey, man works and works and works. He leaves it to somebody else. 1 Kings chapter 11 and 12, we learn, and you can go by there and read that sometime, but read in 1 Kings chapter 11 and 12, you'll learn that Solomon dies. Guess who moves in after him? He's got a son by the name of Rehoboam. And boy, we learn when Rehoboam takes over, it's not long until he has ruined Daddy's kingdom, isn't it? It ain't long until he's took the things that Daddy had accumulated in his life and the wealth and all the things. It ain't long till Rehoboam has wrought them. He listened to the wrong counsel, you remember? And he destroys everything that Daddy had done. You see, Solomon dies. And he leaves his stuff. Verse 19. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man. He's talking about the man the stuff's left to. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool. Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored. And wherein I have shewed myself wise unto the sun. This is also vanity. He said, this stuff I'm going to leave. Is this person going to be a wise person or going to be a foolish person? I ain't going to know. I'm gone. Amen. Probably ain't going to care. Because I'm gone. What I'm saying is, and we're in the middle of faith promise, you know, there's a lot of things I think we accumulate that we don't need. Amen. And you think what that $25 piece of junk would do given on the mission field. Amen. Think about that. Verse 20. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. Notice again the words under the sun. It is the man apart from God who makes these foolish choices. I'm going to tell you, when God settles in our heart, we'll make choices according to God. Amen? Not according to man. We'll make them according to God. We don't have to listen to what man says. We need to listen to what God says. God tells us in His Word. Verse 21, for there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and a great evil. You see, a man who labors in wisdom will be careful who he leaves his labor with. That's what he's saying. A man who is laboring today, you got to be careful of who you're leaving your stuff with. Verse 22 through 23, he says, for what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Simply what Solomon is saying, there is no joy in the things of this world. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. And maybe you find it temporarily, but the end result is emptiness in the things of the world. Now, verse 24 through 26, and I'm going to finish up there quickly. He's talking about being content. Verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, here it is, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to himself that is good before God. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. He gives the answer, really, to all this in these final verses of this chapter. He gives us the answer to it all. He wants to show, he's showing you how good God has been to his children, how God wants his children to enjoy the things he has given them, and they can if God is in his proper place. Solomon is saying, listen, if you'll put God in his proper place, then the things that God gives you, you'll enjoy. Amen. The things that God gives you, he'll multiply. The things that God blesses you with, hey, they will be a blessing to you if God is in his proper place. But if not, he speaks of the sinner here, the sinner will end up with travail, to gather and to heap up and to pile up. You see, there's no joy in that. Solomon found no joy in that. He found no satisfaction in the material things of the world. I know people today that will give great, I mean, they'll just give all their time to the things of the world. Care more about the things of the world than they do the things of God. Care more about things, I tell you, things that when it's all said and done are going to be gone. I've known people give more care to a dog than they do to mankind. Amen. Now, I know some of y'all said, preacher, you're stepping in the wrong place. Hey, I want to be careful how I say this, but I had an aunt, been gone for a long time, a sweet lady, good lady. But she thought more of that dog she had at home than she did of anything else. But she would go without things she needed to satisfy that dog. Well, I'm not against animals. You know, I got a couple of dogs myself. I'll give them to you if you want them, but I've got a couple of dogs myself. And some cats, I'll most definitely give you them things. But anyway, that dog got sick. She put that thing in the hospital on life support and spent thousands of dollars that she didn't have. Sold stuff. And the dog died. It did. But this is not the end of the story. She went down to the funeral home and bought that dog a casket and had a funeral. Now, I don't know. Excuse me, but to me, that's vanity. That's foolishness. I'm not against animals. If my dog would die, I'd bury it. I'd dig a hole myself. Amen. And you know, I might sing a little something. You know, hallelujah. But what Solomon is saying, we put more care about things under the sun. We're not doing anything about things beyond the sun. We're not doing anything about people that needs the gospel. We're not doing anything about people that need something that's going to do them good beyond this veil of tears. You see, Solomon had reached the top and he learned one thing about it. It was empty up there without God. Because there was nowhere else to go. I went as far as I can. I got all I need. I've got everything I want. I can buy anything I want. I can do anything I want. His value, remember we gave you the value last time, was in millions of dollars. But what did he say? I hate it. He was empty. Tonight, if you don't have God in your life, or if you don't have God in the things you've got, you're going to find out it's empty. It's empty. Put God in the midst, and buddy, he'll make you do different things with it. Amen. And you know, then you know what? It'll be like the widow whose barrel never run out of oil. She didn't have nothing. And she was getting ready to die. And she met the man of God. But not only did she meet the man of God, she listened to the man of God. Amen. She did what he said. And you know what? Her barrel never run dry, did it? She fed the whole neighborhood. Amen. Listen, life under the sun without God is empty. Amen, it is. And what is our labor without God? It's empty. Now, I'm not telling you to quit work and say the preacher said not to work. I didn't say that. We should work. We should make a living. We should do our best. We should do our best. We should do all that we can do. But listen, what are we doing with what God gives us? Amen. If we're just hoarding it up to buy some kind of new gadget, well, then it's empty. Now, I'm not against cell phones. I have one myself, and they ain't working right now, but I have one. If you try to call me, you can't find me. So I'm what happened to that thing. But nonetheless, I miss the old days when your phone stayed at the house on the wall. Amen. The only time you could answer is when it rung at home. But anyway, we need to strive with God. We need to labor with God and everything you do. Gary, come on, let's sing. We're going to sing a song tonight. Maybe you're here and you need to pray about something. Maybe you need to pray for somebody. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You need to be saved. You see, that's where it all begins. We must be born again. We must. Listen, if you're going to find out where God is, you've got to meet him. And boy, when you meet him and you get a good dose of his salvation, it changes things. You're happy whether you're on the bottom or whether you're on the top. Amen. That's the pleasure. That's the peace that God gives us. We can find that peace wherever we may be. We don't have to reach to the top. It didn't work for Solomon. He came down in order to preach, didn't he? Amen. That's what he did. You see, he found no satisfaction. God had to be in the midst. Gary, come on. Let's stand and sing tonight.